Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, December 29th, 2019. Pastor John Milkey.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
Grace and mercy and peace are all yours from our Christ child, the baby born in Bethlehem to be our Savior when the time had fully come. As you were getting ready today, did you turn on the radio to listen to some more Christmas music? Or did you discover that the radio station you've had on before Thanksgiving stopped playing Christmas music on December 26th? I was surprised. I actually turned one on and it was still playing Christmas music this morning, but that was pretty rare, I think. What about those decorations that you have put in your house? Are they ready to be taken down maybe today or at least by New Year's Day? I probably won't take my outside decorations down until maybe Easter because it's kind of cold and frozen out there. But this is the time when we see that maybe the Christmas observance and celebration appears to be over. Maybe that's just the way it is. I mean, you got your live Christmas tree indoors yet, or did you realize it's a fire hazard and it's time to maybe throw it out to the curb? What do you do when Christmas seems to be over? Well, here at church, here at Good Shepherd Church, we still have our Christmas decorations at least up for another week, right, Diane? And we celebrate this wonderful good news of Jesus' lowly birth in our songs and our readings today. But I suppose it just doesn't quite seem right today, does it? It's hard to match the glamour, the splendor of Christmas Eve when the children are up here pronouncing the news of Jesus' birth in word and in song, and maybe not quite the joy of Christmas morning when you gathered in worship with your family and friends. Perhaps there's a certain melancholy. It just doesn't seem night, just like Christmas perhaps anymore. What do you do when Christmas is over? Well, based on these words from the Gospel of Matthew, there's two facts that come to mind. What do we do when Christmas seems to be over? We, first of all, watch out for Satan's threats, and then we witness God's saving word. The reading that we have before us that I read earlier from Matthew chapter 2 takes place after the Christmas story. The angels have gone into heaven. The shepherds are taking care of their flocks out in the pastures. And it seems that we have just before our text, the wise men had already come to visit the Christ child, that baby born in Bethlehem, at the house where they visited him and presented them their gifts to him. So all seems to be pretty quiet, except Satan has not stopped. He has not stopped conducting his work, his plan to get rid of this Christ child before it's too late, because he knew exactly what that Christ child came to be and to do. So we need to watch out for Satan's threats. When the Magi came to King Herod's palace, we're told in Matthew chapter 2, they asked Herod, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? We have saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was alarmed, and all Jerusalem with him. Herod was threatened by this news of anyone who would try to destroy his kingdom. He killed his own sons, his brothers, even his own wife, because he felt threatened that his kingdom might be lost. Satan was going to use King Herod to try to take that first stab at destroying the Christ child while he's still an infant. And we find in our text that with that responsibility of taking care of his wife, his new wife, and taking care of the baby Jesus still living in diapers, that King or that Joseph also needed to realize there were certain problems that were coming his way. After the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared to Joseph in a dream. He said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, because Herod will search for the child in order to kill him. What do we do now that Christmas seems to be over? Watch out for Satan's threats, because Satan is not just out to attack our Savior. Satan is not just using political powers to destroy God's work. Satan is using our own evil thoughts and words and desires to destroy Christ's message of the cross and an empty grave. He uses Christmas to take that on that task as well. What I mean by that was, did you really celebrate Christmas this year? Because Satan will use Christmas to pull us apart from the message of the crucified and risen Savior. That happens when we find ourselves thinking more about Nat King Cole and Mannheim Steamroller instead of the message of the newborn king. Is it possible that we have wrapped up our Christmas celebration in a way in which the Old Testament prophets and New Testament apostles may not even recognize that celebration? Is it even possible that you gathered around a brightly decorated tree with these unwrapped countless presents and you ended up celebrating Christmas without Christ? Satan would love if that's the case. Nothing more than making a mental trip down to that manger to ooh and to ah, that wonderful gift of a baby, but not realize what that gift of a baby came to accomplish for the world. Watch out for Satan's threats. Remember John the Baptizer that we talked about prior to Christmas in the season of Advent? He did not come talking about roasting chestnuts on an open fire. He came to talk about a message that would result in unquenchable fire for those who reject the Christ. And John is not because he was trying not to have a good time. He wanted us to realize that we have a problem called sin. Sin is putting the baby in second place. Sin is putting the baby in one spot and putting Frosty the Snowman in the same spot. Sin of putting Jesus in second place where we're elevating ourselves to first place. The sin of making Christmas about us. The sin of shoving Jesus out of the way because we have more important tasks to take care of than celebrating the true meaning of Christmas. John the Baptizer warned us about those things because he wants us to be pleading for a Savior who was to come to take care of all of our sins. So what do you do now that Christmas appears to be over? We watch out for Satan's threats, but we also witness the powerful, loving message of God's holy word. Through the prophets, many things were foretold about the Christ child. Everything was spelled out about everything that Jesus would accomplish. And we are told that the Lord was going to intervene when Satan was determined to stop Jesus from accomplishing his mission. Our text says, Joseph got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt. He stayed there until the death of Herod. This happened to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. Notice what Joseph did. He listened to the word of the Lord. When the Lord needed to intervene to stop Satan's tracks and Herod's tracks, the Lord intervened and Joseph listened to that message. He heard and witnessed the word of God clearly. And we are told that Satan maybe was not done with his tricks and attempts to destroy the Christ child. And I'm sure Joseph did not know what was coming next. So we are told that after Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. The angel said, "Get up. Take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who are trying to kill the child are dead." Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus, Herod's son, had succeeded his father as ruler in Judea, he was afraid to go there. Since he had been warned in a dream, he went to the region of Galilee. When he arrived there, he settled in a city called Nazareth. We're not told in the Bible if Archelaus ended up being a threat to the Christ child. Did he follow through in his father's footsteps? We don't really know. But what we do know is that the word of the Lord directed Joseph to carry out a mission accomplishing an Old Testament prophecy. You can see that God's word still worked there. What do we do now that Christmas is over? We witness God's saving word. We don't know where Satan's threats are going to come from either. Is it possible that Satan's going to threaten with you over some illness that is not able to be controlled by medication or surgery? Is it possible that Satan's going to use the threats of a job insecurity to harm your life of faith in Christ Jesus, your Lord? Is it possible there's a strain on a family relationship that just doesn't seem to get fixed even during the holidays? Is it possible that there might be an unexpected death in your family? The Lord God warns us that Satan is out to threaten us, to take away our faith in the risen Christ. But we are confident that because we can witness God's saving word, that we can find the power and the comfort and the joy of the good news of Jesus Christ, our Savior, to help us get over the pains of living in a world of sin. We are confident that because the Lord Jesus has accomplished saving the world, that we know that we have Jesus as our Savior, and we have the joy of being with Him in heaven one day. That is only because we have a status with God that Satan cannot destroy. That status was made perfect when Jesus came into this world as a baby in Bethlehem. You know the story well. He offered himself as a willing sacrifice to be sin for us sinners. Though he had no sin in him, he became sin for us. Though he is holy, a perfect Lamb of God, he sacrificed himself and he stood on God's judgment seat, condemned, guilty as charged. For all the world's sins that have ever been created and happened since the time of Adam and Eve until the last day of this world. Our Lord and Savior, the Christ child, lived that perfect life in our place and was willing to be that payment, that perfect sacrifice for the world's sins. And that status now makes us holy before our God. A perfect status that the Satan himself cannot change, because we have the power of the gospel, God's saving word. And that status is guaranteed for us when Jesus rose from the grave. What do we do now that Christmas is over? Well, a turkey and some mistletoe may help to make the season bright. But we know that God's word endures. Our joy is not stashed away in some Rubbermaid container for the next 11 months. Our joy rests in the saving words and promises of Jesus, our Savior. He turned back all of Satan's schemes. He defeated Satan for us. He brought us into the kingdom of God. And because of that kingdom that is ours, a glorious kingdom, we have the joy of heaven awaiting us one day. Those words will never grow stale like a Christmas cookie. Those words of gospel news will never break like a Christmas ornament or toy. We have the good news of what we do now that Christmas seems to be over. We watch for Satan's schemes, but we also see the joy of knowing that our Savior God has his word clearly marked out for us. And we witness God's saving word. For over 50 years, Charlie Brown has asked the question, "Everything I do turns into a disaster. I guess I don't really know what Christmas is all about. Is there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?" "I know what Christmas is all about," said Linus. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the multitude of the angels, the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. My dear friends, in reality, Christmas is never over, is it? Amen.